And welcome, everybody. It's overtime here on YouTube, where we always have to wait a few seconds to make sure that we actually are on YouTube, which hopefully we are. Joined again by Kyle, Rob T. Firefly, Gila, and Alex. This is Emmanuel. And we are going to be hearing from listeners, hopefully, because we haven't talked to listeners in a while. We are on YouTube, which is great. Okay, our phone number, 802-321-4225. We have a new digital system that's installed that will silently and seamlessly ring the phone so that we will a little light will light up and we'll be able to take phone calls that way.
That must have set you back a little bit there.
Well, you know, the salesman said that this would do everything that we need, and we wouldn't have to listen to all the noise that comes with the old system. Again, 802-321-HACK, 802-321-4225. Yes, Gila, go ahead.
Did the package you were arriving for, excuse me, waiting for, did it ever arrive?
The package that I was waiting for, right? Was this a complaint of the past that I
yes.
forgotten about?
Yes.
Okay, I do believe it arrived. Yes, it did arrive. It
okay.
just arrived
okay.
days late. And I never got a refund for it, though. I never got a refund for paying for overnight shipping for something that took a week to show up. So, that's because FedEx says... Because FedEx... That's silent? Wow. Okay, well, that's good. Let's pick up that call, Kyle. And we have yet another amazing use of technology here. The phone is still ringing. Did you lose the call?
No, I picked up.
You picked up. How'd you pick up? I didn't see you do anything. You picked up with your mic?
I have certain control.
Okay, so we have a caller?
I pressed the button.
Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great. What's on your mind? And how did we know it would be you?
How did I know you would be there?
Yeah, let's just say that.
Okay, well, for one thing, I looked up Off the Hook overtime and typed in the date.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And for another, you announced it at the beginning of the broadcast show.
Write this down, Kyle. This is important.
What? Okay,
we're learning. We're learning a lot. So what's on your mind?
I was wondering whether you had heard anything about how I can save my copper line.
Nothing good. Nothing
out.
Good, and I hear that you have a bad hum on your line, too. So they're doubling down. They're trying to put the pressure on. They're trying to make it so you have to give in and get that fiber line from them.
Yeah, this is the heavy-handed tactics they use. They come right... This is... it's textbook.
Yeah, when I had a DSL line, and it was through a different company, but Verizon still owned the actual phone line that was used, they would disconnect it regularly. And I feel no hesitation in saying that they would do this deliberately week after week, because everybody in the industry said this is what they do. This is how they conduct business. And I'm not surprised to see them be completely unhelpful here as well.
So you have not been able to find or be told about any company that I could switch to that would take care of the copper lines?
Well, the thing is, there are companies that use the copper lines, but they don't take care of the copper lines. That always falls to Verizon. They will still have to maintain. For instance, if you had one of these companies and you had a problem with your phone line, you would report it to them, but then they would contact Verizon, and Verizon would have to fix it, and then the company that you pay would get back to you and say that we fixed it, even though they basically just talked to Verizon. It's basically adding a step, but Verizon isn't going to cooperate with them any more than they're going to cooperate with you. It's a shame. It's a travesty, I think. They shouldn't be allowed to do this, but they are, and they're getting away with it.
So I have no hope.
I hate saying that, but it doesn't look good. I know if you hold on to your copper line, it will annoy them. I don't know if that helps in
but
any way.
But they said that I have had 20 days to tell them what I was going to do, and if I didn't do anything, they would disconnect my phone.
Well, you know, I would say call their bluff, but I don't think they're bluffing. I think that's what they're going to do.
And it's true that they're really trying to push people away from what had been a money making system for them. And I think you're right to want to continue to use the system as you have it. It will get attention if people talk about it, and if you're able to contact some of the public utility and other entities that might advocate or be willing to listen to how this is affecting people, because that's the real the oversight here. I think they may be making a business decision purely just because of some numbers that need to move around on a spreadsheet, where in the city, in the community, the place they're supposed to serve, the effect is having entirely different implications and maybe unforeseen ones.
Can I ask, are you in an apartment building?
Yes, I am.
Do you know your neighbors?
One or two.
Well, if you knew a couple of neighbors that had a similar problem, and you were able to raise, say, three or four voices from the same location, that might buy you some time. That might embarrass them a bit, especially if, say, you got some local coverage, if there was a newspaper that serves your area, or, dare I say, a TV station. You know, while we certainly advocate for this sort of thing, we do this all the time, almost to the point where we just get ignored as much as a consumer gets ignored. They expect us to be fighting with the phone company, but if, say, Channel 2 did it, it might embarrass them enough where they have to take some sort of action.
And the repair might become a larger project than being characterized as just one customer who's perhaps being uncooperative with what they envision for this network. If a coalition of people in this particular service area had something to say about it, and you got some advocacy around it in the broader context of telecommunications and what's needed now in the city, you could find it that there is a lot of support for it. But we get blue in the face trying to advocate for keeping multiple modes and types of systems working, even at like a basic or like an emergency level. There are a rash of shutdowns going on with different mobile systems, older mobile systems, and even types of mobile systems. BlackBerry's completely shutting down in January. So we're tracking this stuff, and we really want to share, but we need help too. We need more voices.
Yeah. And, you know, to share another story, a friend of mine in New Jersey spoke to Verizon to actually have a copper line installed. And this flies against everything that we've been told. They said, yeah, we'll send somebody over to install a copper line, regular copper line, no problem at all. The day came, the guy showed up, and when my friend said, you're here to install a copper line, the guy had no idea what he was talking about. Verizon can't even communicate with their own people on this. That's how pathetic it is. So even if you get somebody to say, yes, we can do this for you, the person who actually is supposed to do it for you will have no idea of any such thing, and it will go against their policy.
Hi.
Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Just don't give up. Don't give up hope.
Well, it kind of sounds like we're telling her to, but yeah, you know, don't give up. You're right. The important thing is to keep speaking out.
To tell them at the end of the 20 days.
No, you don't have to.
That I'm switching to another company, or that they should install Fios, or they'll just cut me off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can you survive a day or two without a phone if they do cut you off?
I'm disabled. This would not be wise.
Okay, then don't do that. Unless you have a cell phone already, you shouldn't be cut off completely. It just what they're doing is really ill-advised and very, very shady, I think. But you know, the only thing, I assume you've contacted the Public Service Commission. If not, you should do that and see if they will offer any support. Have you tried?
Who?
The Public Service Commission that oversees the phone companies?
No, I hadn't.
Oh, no. Contact them and see what they say. If you still have phone books, that number is in the front of your phone book. Otherwise, you can just look it up online. Public Service Commission for New York State. You're in New York State, right? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, are you in New York State?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so it's the Public Service Commission. Contact them. They have a toll-free number, and explain the situation to them. Don't expect much, but maybe you'll get lucky and find somebody there who will take an interest in the case, and you could spearhead an entire movement.
Okay. I will.
All right, because I know you're not alone. There's so many people that want to keep their copper lines. They really are. So it's not something that that is that much of an oddity. Yeah, not that many people want copper lines, but enough do where, you know, I think it's completely legitimate to want them to be preserved. It's you know, really important, too, when there are power failures, you know, during a storm, during a blizzard, or something that will just cut off the cell phone towers, or have an extended power outage where your fiber optic line won't work. Copper lines go through the central office where there are massive generators that will last for months. To basically turn away from that kind of technology, yeah, it's slower, it's clunkier than what we have now, but it also will survive things that our current technology won't.
Okay.
I hope we helped. That's as much as we can do, I think. Alex, did you have something as well?
Yeah, sure. For the caller, if you wanted to check out the Public Service Commission, you can get there via DPS, as in Delta Papa Sierra, .ny.gov. That's through the Department of Public Service is where the commission lies in the state of New York, and also through that website, you can even file a complaint.
Well, tell me they still have a phone number. They didn't lose their phone line, did they?
I certainly hope not. I've been looking for something, though.
You
but
can't
you know
find the phone number
difficult.
For the Public Service Commission? Wow.
Well, you can lodge a complaint about that, I guess, through the website, that they don't have a phone number.
I can't imagine us back in the 1990s listening to the future, a time when copper lines and pay phones are being disconnected and we can't contact the Public Service Commission by phone and all sorts of other nightmares.
Well, I got a phone number.
You got
here.
A phone number,
so
okay.
So this is contact us line for issues relating to gas, electric, water, phone, and cable TV service, as well as billing complaints. And that would be 1-800-342-3377. That's 1-800-342-3377.
And you know something else? Attorney General of New York State. When you're not happy with the Public Service Commission, that's always an option, right? Right, Alex? Would you
yeah,
say that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can give it a shot. They may respond. They may not. It all depends on what their initiatives are, whether it crosses over with other issues that they're examining of the day. So,
if
you know,
get
absolutely.
The right person and you are able to explain the situation in a way that they understand and are sympathetic to, who knows? I mean, you know, other things have happened with much less of a chance of success. So, again, don't give up.
I agree with
okay.
that.
Okay.
But please let us know what happens.
What?
Let us know what happens.
I will.
All right. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That's something, right?
Loud and clear. Loud and clear.
Well, except for the hum.
Every time we've run into this, I think I've been kicking around this idea. There is a solution here, and I really think we'll have to come up with something collectively or whatnot.
I think the digital system has another call coming in. The phone number, by the way, which will now not go to us, is 802-321-4225. Let's see who we have on the phone line now. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes. Hi. Could you turn
it's
it
Rebel.
Up
oh, my God. Louder. Rebel, how you doing?
Yeah. Can you turn it up a little louder? Let's see. The volume is all the way up on my terminal, and I still can't I mean, I can hear you.
Uh-huh. Are we particularly low? Is that a common complaint?
Yeah,
people need to tell
stream,
us.
On the stream, it's just low.
Uh-huh. I wonder why that is. How about on the radio? Did you listen to us on the radio?
I didn't listen to you on the radio.
Oh. Well, you know, yeah, it could be a YouTube issue. It could be a hardware issue, a software issue.
Well, when you post to YouTube, you have the option to, I think, a volume option or something.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have like 7,000 subscribers, and very few people leave comments. But anyway.
Well, that's true. They're content. They don't need to say anything.
That is the comment.
You haven't been on for a while, but I'd like to mention... there's been things are going up, prices and things like that, and, particularly like gas for cars and things like that. I think there would be a interesting project for hackers and people who social engineer to, the people at the gas stations, they don't make the prices, but they just, set the prices at the pump, says that you have to pay. So, and maybe there's a thing where you can hack that, where you can get them, maybe social engineer them to make it like instead of $3 a gallon, $2 a gallon or something, only at the pump, not at the sign that says what the price is, but at the pump. So when you're pumping it, you'll be pumping at $1.50 a gallon, but nobody else will know.
I think the person who runs the gas station might suspect something when all of a sudden he's not making any money. And is spending more than I mean. What you're asking for is how do we steal fuel and lob some dollars off of it? If you want to change the price, change it at the source. Change it where one of the oil companies or OPEC or somebody determines the price. Change that, and you've got my interest.
Right. Okay. Let's see. What else? I don't know.
You can always change the sign. That's easy to change, but then you'll annoy people because they'll be paying more than they believe the sign says. Rob, did you have a suggestion?
Right.
I can also confirm that the person working at the gas station, pumping your fuel or running the cash register or whatever, is the last person that would have any access to do any changing of that. And also, they're probably having a crappy day at work anyway because it's not a very rewarding job. So, leave that poor person alone.
Yeah, it seems like those systems are managed from inside, but they're probably extensively logged or some kind of paper receipt is created as things are changed or fluctuate. But it's interesting to know. I know we've had interest before and articles. People have been curious about how these different machines work. A lot of them have TVs now.
Oh my God! The TVs at gas stations.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah,
Okay, you open up the floodgate here.
Right, slow down,
I want people to hack that damn TV set because when you're standing there pumping gas, you're a captive audience to some idiot who's trying to sell you something else. But when you're already buying something or just giving you entertainment news that you couldn't care less about, boy, other than shooting the thing, I'd like a way of disabling it. If anyone has something to share.
That's where we can act. In elevators, too,
hold on a second. I have another idea. Or you simply hack it like they did in Hackers, where they put their own TV program on. Put that on and make them a captive audience to your programming, to something that you put together. Yeah, I'd like that, too. Go ahead, Riddle.
That's a good idea. Yeah, the company is actually called the Captive Network.
Are you kidding me? They're called Captive? Oh, my God.
The Captive Network. They have the TV advertising and elevators.
I want a piece of them. I want a piece of this company. Not an investor piece. A piece where, that gets me so angry. Captive. They're celebrating
Network, but it's, yeah, the Captive Network were in buildings and elevators, not the gas station. That's the gas station television.
Yeah, that's actually, that's true. It's distinct, I think.
Anything else, Rebel?
Let's see. What else?
Most people write it out before they call us. They have it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I used to do that, but I you haven't been on for a while, so I did want to say something, but I forgot.
And we won't be on next week too. Keep a note on that. In 2 weeks, we'll be back.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What is it? A fundraiser?
It might be. It's a week off for us. That's all I know.
Okay.
Anyway, good hearing from you. Let us know your...
Okay. Oh, by the way, the 2600 meeting is this Friday. Is it going to be at the city? The new, what do they call it, the Hue or something?
Rob, you want to take this one?
Yep, it is, in fact, back at the Citigroup Center. The food court there now has a name, and the name is The Hue.
Wait,
H-U-G-H,
what?
As in the person's name, as in Hugh Stubbs, I believe was his name, who's the architect who built the place.
How do you spell it?
Hugh, H-U-G-H.
The Hue.
Like, that's what they're calling
like
the food
board.
Court, The Hue.
Yep.
Weird.
Yep.
And you need and IP
big,
to get in, by the way.
There are big neon signs with the name, and there is a lovely bunch of restaurants and great seating, and it's going to be a good place to have a meeting.
It is really, really lovely.
Really, really
lovely.
We've
gone and checked
okay.
it out, and
right.
it is lovely.
Well, I like lovely things. Now, Rebel, you were saying something?
Yeah, you have to have ID now and be vaccinated.
Yes, you have to be
vaccinated,
and they are checking, the security staff is checking at the doors, as they are in other public places in New York City. So this is what we have to, this is what we have to do to, you know, deal with the situation we're in. And, you know, I advise folks to be cool about that because,
it's a very different thing if they check IDs of people who go into a food court when there isn't a pandemic. And I'll be first online to protest that if that's what's happening. But here we need to make sure people are vaccinated. And the way to do that, you know, when we were in Seattle a few weeks ago, King County, they had started doing that where they asked to see your vaccination card. It's such a simple thing. You show them a vaccination card. Usually that's enough because they figure, is this person really going to go to the trouble of making a fake vaccination card? Then they're probably going to figure out a way to get in anyway. It's not really worth the hassle. But a few places ask for a matching ID of some sort. It could be a credit card, it could be a license. And if the name is the same, that's enough too. Again, fairly easy to defeat, but why would you want to? The point is, you know, asking for that kind of verification doesn't have to be a big deal unless you make it into a big deal. And that's just stupid.
And also... I'm sorry. Also with the issue of privacy, though, like they look at your Excelsior Pass, your phone app, or your vaccine card. They look at your ID, but they are not logging this information. They have not been when I've visited the place a couple of times recently. So, you know, in terms of privacy, they will not remember you're there. They'll just, check it out to make sure you're coming in, in good shape.
Yeah,
so
if you
that.
Find somebody who is logging that information, that's something that we'd be very interested in exposing because that's not what should be happening at all. Yeah. Yes, Alex, go ahead.
Yeah. Just an observation. I went out last night to a bar that I regularly frequent, and I've been there many times since the pandemic started and since I was vaccinated and since they were since this whole notion of checking vaccine cards had begun. And one of the things I noticed is that every time I go in, the manager knows me. It's not as if my vaccine, and I thought about this a lot last night, so don't jump to conclusions, but the manager knows me, and he has checked my vaccination card probably, you know, half a dozen, maybe a dozen times since I've been vaccinated. But every time I go in there, he still insists on checking my vaccination card. It's not like I could travel in back in time and decide not to get the vaccine. However, I thought about this a bit last night, and I began to appreciate it because I think just as a show to everybody else in there that everyone is checked upon arrival,
right.
Regardless if you've been there in the past, it makes, I think, everyone feel more comfortable even though, you know, you're spending an extra 15 seconds and getting the picture up and whatnot on your phone and then them checking it, even pro forma. Just that simple act, I feel like, was somewhat reassuring to me when I thought about it in hindsight.
Well, two reasons. To comfort those people who are already there, that everybody's treated the same. But also imagine that he's being looked at by somebody, either his boss or maybe, you know, somebody. This is New York City, I take it. Somebody from the city. Who is basically in charge of that kind of thing or just in charge of reporting people who violate the policy. If you just wave somebody by without checking, then, you know, you're obviously not doing the job, even though you might know inside your head that the person has a card. Or you could be an identical twin. You don't know that either. You know, it's entirely
that's
possible.
True. Yes.
Rebel, are you still there? Rebel's not there. Okay, so that means our phone line is open. 802-321-4225-802-321-HACK. Please give us a call as we're here this week. Won't be here next week, and we want to hear from our listeners. Yes, Alex, go ahead.
Speaking of Rebel, I'm glad that he's called off the hook again and started calling again. And I always enjoyed his phone calls when they happened. I guess as the first caller every single episode of Off the Hook back in the 90s. And it seems like we have another call now. I hope he keeps it up. And I also wonder how many years it's been between calls for Rebel. That was actually my question.
That's a good question. The phone does seem to be ringing. I can hear the digital signals. Can we pick it up, Kyle? Thank you very much. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening, Off the Hook Overtime.
All of our regular callers are calling in. Bobson from Bulgaria, how are you?
Well, getting sleepy this time of night, but I'm only 7 hours in the future from New York.
So that would make it what time in your area?
Well, the time slot after what the hook off the hook is 3 to 4 a.m.
So it's about 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, at night. I mean, morning is after it gets lighter.
Well, there's no 2:30 in the morning in the daytime, as I'm aware of.
Well, okay, before noon then. Anyhow. I was listening to the calls and the thing about the doors that are set at gas stations reminded me to figure out what the situation is here, from here to there, and it turns out the gasoline here costs on that something like $5.74 per gallon or something.
And,
like,
you know,
that.
I think it should cost that here as well, because I think fossil fuels should be discouraged as much as possible. And, you know, I would tell Rebel, if you're going to hack anything, hack a price in that direction. It might be more advantageous for the environment to do that.
I'm not going to argue with you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, the thing is, the difference in price is paid with the blood of the kids that your government sends to war on the oil in different parts of the world, if you think about it.
You don't have to think much about it, but yes, that's certainly true.
Something else. Oh, there's news on this side of the ocean. The EU is on a good way to get rid of the use of daylight savings time from now on, which is...
So everybody is targeting daylight savings time. Wait, are they getting rid of daylight savings time, or are they getting rid of the other time before daylight savings time, the standard time?
Well, as far as I know, we're getting rid of the summer time, which is the one that has nothing to do with geography. So the daylight savings time is going to be gone if things go according to plan.
Do you know during the war they had double daylight savings time one year when I had 2 hours? Look it up. They had this in some
places.
Yes,
I've read about the history of it, and yes, there's silly things happening, but the silly thing that's been happening for the past 40 years or so is no longer going to be happening.
Look,
in
this is all
the EU as far as...
It's all because people want the longer days, right? And I'm sure there's a way scientifically we can think of, the sun rises at a certain time in the winter and a different time in the summer. But what if we simply had the hours that were dark go faster? Okay, so a dark hour goes faster than a light hour, and a light hour is maybe like an hour and a half, and that way your days are longer. You see what I'm saying, Alex, right? I mean, that's a good idea.
The ancient Greeks had this.
Maybe.
you look very confused now. Look, it's simple. It's science. Who says an hour has to be 60 minutes? Nobody. That's just the government telling you that an hour is 60 minutes. You don't have to follow that. You can make your own hours. You can have a blockchain hour. We'll talk after the show.
A blockchain hour?
Why not?
Yes,
that's what I said. That's what I said.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Somebody's going to get blockchainhour.com.
I have pamphlets. I have pamphlets that I can show you. I'm sorry, Bobson. Go ahead. I'm trying to...
So there was some historical precedent with what you're talking about with ancient Greeks. or something, or some such, using 12 hours every single day of differing lengths.
There you go.
So sunrise to sunset was set to be 12 hours.
Uh-huh.
And you figure out how many minutes each hour is for the day because according to the calendar.
Yeah, I mean, how about this? Like in Singapore, pretty much the sun rises and sets the same time every single day of the year, which is fantastically boring. But imagine if you had the sun set at a particular time every day, but the day got longer in the summertime, even though the sun still sets at the same time. The hours just are longer, so you're up for longer. And to people who run businesses, you're paying your employees by the hour, okay, but they're working more because it's summertime, you see? So those they're working an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 45 minutes, but it's an hour, so you pay them the hourly rate. You see how this can benefit us? It's a really, it's a good system. Yes, Alex, you have feedback on
you that? You know, yeah. What you're mentioning about hours and uh-huh. these changing conceptions of times, I have
time.
To say,
mm-hmm.
it is really interesting. And there's a book that is almost exactly about this. It's called Einstein's Dreams, and it's by a professor from MIT. I think he was a professor of humanities.
Can you imagine
MIT.
If you were able to insert advertisements into Einstein's Dreams? Think about that.
Oh my God! Could you imagine? Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Good reference back there, by the way. But it's a book by this guy Alan Lightman, I believe is his name, and each chapter is, you know, about this tiny little town, Bern, in Switzerland, where Einstein was from, and is a description of what is happening there, but all based on a different conception of time. If we didn't have this 24-hour day, if time was measured in different increments, or if time was felt in different ways as well. And I have to say, it's absolutely a beautiful book, wonderfully written, really accessible too, and makes you think about how absolutely enslaved we are to the concept of 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
And doing what we're supposed to be doing all on the basis of this inhuman, arbitrary, and contrived concept of time.
You know,
everything runs by it.
Speaking of the concept of time, there was a period, maybe some of our listeners are old enough to remember this, where there were no time zones, where time was pretty much decided by village, and it would be a little bit later or actually a little bit earlier in New York City than, say, on Long Island, and where you are in Pennsylvania, it would be earlier still. And I think it was the railroads that came along and made time zones because they couldn't figure out when trains should arrive with all these different time zones and different villages. I guess probably our listeners aren't old enough for that because that was probably 100 or so years ago at least. But still, an interesting concept, the kind of chaos that world must have brought forth is fascinating to me.
A whole set of language around converting, right?
Yeah.
We think we're converting from one or the other unit now. That would have been one village time to another village time.
If they even talked to each other. I mean, how would they talk to each other? There were no telephones. You know, it was just, I guess, mayhem. I'm sorry, Bobson, you're still there.
Yeah, I have a question for Alex, if I may. The book you mentioned about Einstein's Dreams, does it have pictures in it? Or is it just reading stuff?
Is it a deal breaker if it doesn't have pictures?
Well, it sounds as if it was well illustrated, it might be a good read.
It's an excellent read. I don't believe that it has.
You guys are talking at the same time. You have to listen to each other. Alex, go ahead.
Oh, I don't believe there's any pictures. It is a fantastic read. And there are portions, however, that are scratch and sniff.
Oh, boy.
That's worrisome.
Your listenership just plummeted. Did you see that? Wow. In half. Wow.
Hey Bobson, I've got to follow up with something with you specifically as well. I don't know if listeners will recall, maybe about it was probably about 2 months ago now or so, but Bobson and I had an exchange about a Bulgarian grocery store that I had frequented here in Pennsylvania. And I'm wondering if Bobson has given any further thought to the idea of doing a weekly segment about Bulgarian groceries that we review on both sides of the Atlantic here.
Well, I haven't considered it much, I must say, because it sounds a bit...
You can say it.
Well, it sounds silly, not in a good way.
We call that stupid or dumb or ill-advised or moronic.
I wouldn't go that far, but...
Thanks, Bobson.
You know, there's good silly and not so good silly, and this is the not so good silly thing.
We've had a lot of that recently.
I entirely disagree, which is why I think we should do that segment. It would just be so much fun.
Do you have a single Bulgarian food item in your possession right now, Alex?
Yeah, I do. I have those wafers as well. The Vafna?
The same ones you had a couple of months ago when we last talked about this.
No. Those would have been very, very stale by now.
But you got the same product again, is what I'm saying. You didn't get something...
I did get... A can
of beans or something would be kind of cool to look at least for us, and to hear about for Bobson and maybe one other person. All right,
yeah.
Well, you know what? We'll explore this idea of yours. Bobson, anything else from you?
Well, I'm just hoping that no one in March tries to set up DST again around here, because that would be really, really ungood.
Set up what again?
Daylight savings time.
Oh, yes. So there's a movement against it, a strong movement against it.
No, the European Parliament in March of 2018 voted to get rid of it in 2021. And as far as I know, it's going to, according to that plan. But
okay, I didn't know that. So they actually voted to do this, and it's set for next year.
No. It's set for this year that's passing.
Oh, that's right. And this is 2021.
So the last period of DST was this summer.
Okay, hang on a second. So you're not keeping daylight savings time, you're keeping standard time?
Since the end of October, yes.
All right, but aren't the people in the United States that want to stop this, don't they want to keep daylight savings time, not standard time? Or do I have this totally backwards? Gila, you're nodding. Now you're shaking your head. Which is it?
Sorry, no, you have this right. You don't have it backwards.
Okay, so we're doing it differently.
People in the United States want to maintain daylight saving time throughout the whole entire year. They want to get rid of standard time and basically make all time
and
daylight saving
time. People in Europe want to do
and
the exact
Bobson,
opposite.
If I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like they're doing the opposite in Europe.
Is that true, Bobson?
Well, as far as I know, the plan was if people wanted to keep the DST throughout the year, the last change of clocks would have been last March. And if not, if they change it back to geographical time at the end of October, then they want to keep the geographical time, and that's how it stays from now on, as far as I'm concerned.
So that will mean that there's either an extra hour between us or one less hour between us. And, of course, how about the UK? What are they doing?
I don't remember if they were not still part of the whole EU thing back when it was voted on.
What if we all just kept the same time zone and it was 8 o'clock in one place is different than 8 o'clock in another? You know, this is getting too complicated.
And why do we have to fix this?
Yeah, well, because we broke it, I think.
It's not my fault.
No, it's never anybody's fault. Bobson, always good hearing from you. We will.
Thank you for our time. Thank you for the radio show and after hour or what have you.
Overtime.
The overtime, yes.
And Alex has one concluding thought, I believe.
Yes, Bobson. One thing I forgot to mention last time. I don't think that we talked about this yet or not, though. But it is something I bought from the grocery store, and I am curious about your thoughts on it. It's called kvass. Have you ever had kvass?
No, not yet. But since we talked about it, I was planning on getting some from there is a Russian store in the neighborhood, but I never got around to going to.
You got to check it out. Yeah, I don't recall if we talked about the kvass, but yeah,
yes,
you got to check it out.
The, the fermented beverages, we discussed a bit of it. And you mentioned
yes.
the brand name of kvass that I don't remember anymore.
Yeah, I don't remember it either, unfortunately. But when you do check it out, call back in and we'll hear your thoughts about it.
I don't envy you, Bobson. So.
Why?
Because you've got to have this Russian fermented drink now before Alex will talk to you again. well, let's know how that goes.
That's not what he said, but I see where you're coming from.
Bobson is listening very closely.
Yeah. All right, well, say hi to everybody in Bulgaria for us. We will talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
All right, take care. And our phone number is 802-321-4225. You know, I'd like to hear from somebody maybe who went to that meeting or, you know, the webinar tonight.
It is scheduled to still be going on.
Yes. But
it was scheduled to end at 9.
Right, which is when we end generally. So it was
right.
It was carefully crafted to keep us out. But maybe somebody else has gone to that thing and can report to us. But regardless, if you have something to say, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. We're on for a few more minutes, and we'd love to hear from our listeners, because we haven't heard from you in a long time. I guess we have another phone call. Go ahead. You're on the air on overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening. This is the AT&T operator.
Okay.
I had a collect call from Bernie. Will you accept the charges?
No, this is Rebel again, and one call per program. Good hearing from you. None of this foolishness. 802-321-4225. If you call once, don't call again.
That was Bernie, wasn't it?
I don't think it was, no. Yes. Any other stories people want to share while we wait for that other phone call?
Yeah, sure. I've got just a personal anecdote. I got my booster shot today.
We got our booster shots. When did we get those?
Earlier in the week.
Yeah, it was about a week ago.
Oh, right. Did you feel any adverse effects?
It was actually Friday. Well, yeah, our arms hurt pretty good. Kyle, your arm hurt faster than mine. But when mine started hurting, it hurt pretty good as well.
Yeah,
it's sore for a little bit, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
I think the phone's ringing.
Yeah, well, it's amazing how you can tell. Let's take this phone call. I want to hear your story. Go ahead. You are on overtime.
Hello, this is Phil from Missouri. Good to hear from you guys again.
Good to hear from you again, too. What's on your mind?
I was thinking about the abortion law in Texas.
Okay.
Is there any way you could, sue the governor, lieutenant governor, and the state of Texas for facilitating roads to allow abortions to happen? I mean,
that's an interesting.
If you were
the maintenance of infrastructure.
Alex, I don't know if you can hear the caller, but you're talking over the caller. Yeah. Let the caller talk first, and go ahead, caller.
Well, anyway, okay. So you sue the state of Texas, and you sue the governor and the lieutenant governor for maintaining the roads that help facilitate an abortion, right?
Wow.
So the
okay.
state of Texas has no choice but to defend that in court. And what's their defense going to be? Well, you can't constitutionally sue us for doing something like that. Wouldn't that just, end the law there if they appeal?
So speaking as the devil's advocate, meaning in this case Texas's advocate, I would say that how would they know that this person traveling down the road is on their way to an abortion? You would have to prove that they knew that this person was being was using a road to get to that particular location. I would say maybe a better case would be they should not maintain any roads that go to abortion clinics. How about this? It doesn't snow in Texas, but if it did snow in Texas and they cleared the snow outside of an abortion clinic, right there, they got, you got them there because they're making it so that people can get there. But we can come up with something.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, then the state Texas will have no choice but to defend on the fact that you can't constitutionally do that or something like
right.
that, right?
Right.
Which would take that law and just kind of poof it, wouldn't it?
Throw it right back at them, yeah.
I mean, we have to think of things like this, because when Republicans come up with this these absurdities and fly in the face of democracy and the Constitution, too often we just say, oh, my God, how horrible, can you believe it? And that's where it stops. You know, I was super happy today to see so many people demonstrating outside the Supreme Court, you know, because that's the only thing that is really going to make an impression on politicians, on members of the Supreme Court, on the public. But there has to be so much more of that. People have to take an active interest. They have to be loud. They have to be obnoxious. You know, just sitting back and bemoaning our fate constantly, that doesn't work. It just makes it worse.
Yep. Even if they redistrict everybody, you can still show up and vote, and chances are you're still going to, you know, outnumber the Republicans, because, you know, their base is so small,
you know,
to begin with.
On the subject of redistricting, and gerrymandering and all that, you know, I'm wondering if hackers might be able to come up with some kind of an app that basically, if a district is gerrymandered, what is needed in order to change it back? Like, this many people need to move over to this neighborhood, and once that happens, and they can turn it back to Democratic control if the Republicans have stolen it through gerrymandering. It would require all kinds of data, obviously, but I feel like there must be a mathematical solution to this. What do you think, Alex?
I think what the caller proposed with respect to suing the state for maintaining the infrastructure that could reasonably be used in the future to facilitate an abortion is so fascinating. It really is, and I think it's wonderful creative thinking. It's the exact type of argument that you would call in philosophy reductio ad absurdum, right? You know, this is a method of proving that something is false or wrong by showing that the logical consequences of it are completely absurd. And I think that, you know, we all know that this Texas law where you can sue somebody for facilitating an abortion is absolutely insane and crazy. And thinking about it this way, I think is exactly what we need to do. You know, from a legal standpoint, though, I think the difficulty would be proximate cause. You have to show that something there's a connection between the two events, and they can't be too disconnected. You know, if they're not proximate, and the cause is too remote, then you can't be held legally responsible for the action. There's a really interesting case about this that everybody in law school reads on proximate cause called Powell's Graph v. the Long Island Railroad, actually, LIRR. So it's a very, very famous case about causation.
Wait, what does the Long Island Railroad have to do with any of this?
Oh, my God, you're going to make me – the facts of Powell's Graph are really, really weird. Off the top of my head, and I'm not looking at the case, but if I remember from the torts class, there's a guy standing on the platform of Long Island Railroad waiting for a train, and somebody – either he was holding a box of fireworks or somebody else had some fireworks. Somebody gets off the train. There's some bustling. Anyhow, some fireworks go off. I think it might have been his fireworks, something like that, that went and hit something remote, like some kind of weighing station thing that was hanging in the station, and it fell and caused damage, and I think it hit somebody. And so the question is, you know, was it, you know, foreseeable? You know, was there a proximate cause between the fireworks going off and the damages at issue in this particular case?
Well, first of all, fireworks are illegal on Long Island, so there's that.
Well, I don't think they were back then.
Really?
They probably had, yeah. This is a really old case. I'm gonna find exactly what the,
Well, that's definitely interesting. Interesting case to find.
Yeah, I mean, this is a classic law school case, but where the hell was it? Okay, so I'm gonna read you the facts of the brief here. A plaintiff ticket-holding passenger Helen Palsgraf was standing on a platform of defendant Long Island Railroad Company. A man carrying a package jumped aboard the car of a moving train at a nearby platform.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore either.
Yeah, right. A guard in the car reached out to help him in, and a guard on the platform pushed the man from behind. The package was dislodged, fell onto the rails, and exploded. The shock of the explosion caused the scales to fall. The scales, these are these things that, you know, they had hanging, I guess, caused the scales to fall onto plaintiff passenger, Helen Palsgraf, who filed this lawsuit for injuries due to defendant's alleged negligence. The trial term court entered a verdict for plaintiff, and in 1927, Supreme Court Appellate Division affirmed that judgment. The two lower courts held that the negligent acts of the railroad's employees caused the package that contained explosives to be thrown under the train where they exploded. Defendant Railroad sought appeal, and there we go. That's it.
Wow, that's quite a story. Just as an aside, you know that trains used to go faster back then than they do now, 100 years ago. To get to the city, it would take less time to get to the city from parts of Long Island than it does now.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's our system.
Are you curious about how this case came out, though? Because the court found that there was no negligence of the Long Island Railroad because the defendant railroad could not have reasonably foreseen that its employees' conduct would have resulted in that injury.
With all the guards pushing people and things like that? That seems a bit hostile.
Japan, right? Sounds a lot like the Japanese subway.
Uh huh. Well, they mostly just squish you into the train. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting case. But yeah. Alex, did you have any thoughts on the gerrymandering idea of some kind of mathematical solution to that? Because you know it seems like we just keep taking it and never actually doing anything to fight it.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a very wonderful idea, actually, that can have equitable consequences. But it would be fought tooth and nail, unfortunately.
Well, it's not legislation. It's simply calculating where does somebody in an opposing political party need to move to in order to affect the outcome of an election in a district that's been created by the other party.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I misunderstood the whole concept there. Yeah, I think that's absolutely fascinating.
It would be very complex, you know. But, I know of people who have moved to other states in order to help influence the results of state elections, but that's a much bigger geographical area, whereas this, you could actually flip some districts.
Yeah, you're very well... may be able to do that, quite easily, just swapping out addresses and things, moving around short term.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really fascinating. I mean, and it really is an interesting idea because so often now these local elections decide so much, and they're by such small margins that they're won.
Yeah.
So it really could have an effect.
Yeah, and if the computing power can be put to work to redistrict in one way, it could easily be employed to narrow to the, like, low-hanging, easily done, like, this is only a matter of 10 or a few residences. That would allow the switching of those districts, or re-switching back, to at least be a lot more attainable than trying to do it in impossible places on the districting maps.
Caller, anything else from you?
Well, yeah, I was watching the original movie Hackers like last night.
Uh-huh.
And it just got me to thinking that, ransomware is nothing new. It's just the name we put on it is new. Because the whole plot of the movie is like they have a worm, right, to steal money off the company, and they plant a virus to get the heat off of them and put it on the hackers, right? So so it was holding the company hostage for money, which actually there's a ransomware attack in St. Louis right now with the community college where they just cancel all classes and everything.
Wow.
Until they get it sorted out. I don't know why you need to cancel the classes. I don't know why you.
I don't get that. Okay, so your computers aren't working. You still have something to say to your students, I think, right?
Yeah, I know. But, it just got me to thinking that, a lot of what we complain about online and everything is just rehash. I mean, everything's rehash. If you watch All in the Family or MASH, they talk about the same issues we're talking about right now.
That's true. That's very true.
And completely, and nothing has changed. It's just all rehash. And because somebody's got a blog or somebody's popular, they coin a phrase like something like ransomware, which the threat of a cracker, whoever, going in there and holding your company hostage for so much money.
No, you raise.
It's been around forever.
You raise a really good point there. You raise a really good point. Things, we keep having the same conversations. For instance, that Peter Jackson documentary just came out on the Beatles. You look at the first part, by the way, I recommend that to everybody. If you watch the first part, you'll see by the end that the song Get Back, which is what the documentary is called, was actually written as a protest song against white supremacists that are marching in England and being anti-immigrant. The same conversations were being had back then, and the smart, thoughtful people were fighting against it, as they always have, always will.
Yeah, but you know, if you're popular enough, you get a coin of phrase, and everybody acts like it's something brand new. I mean,
that's true.
The OK symbol, whatever, you know, these guys use now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wasn't that like a Cyclops symbol way back in the 30s and everything? For the
I'm
KKK?
Sure it's been used for many, many things. Yeah. I don't think we should
it. I see, you know, in the NBA, when a guy shoots a three and he makes it, he throws it up. Okay.
I'm sure there's a picture of me as a kid making that symbol. But I can assure you I was not a white supremacist as a kid. Not knowingly, anyway.
There's a rude symbol, and there's a rude meaning behind that, too.
I'm sure there is.
When you're a kid. Yeah, you know.
There's all kinds of things with fingers you can do. I know. Kyle, did you use something, Kyle?
Yeah, sure. The premise of using what tools we can and, the rehashing thing, I just hear so much there. I think there's some things that have been lost. In large part, the hostage sort of holding people's data hostage has become less elegant, I think, in some ways. The systems are highly automated, and it's quite impersonal and a bigger problem, more pervasive problem. From the screenplay, it seems so quaint, sort of adorable, from hearing the plot line to the movie where something is actually working within the company's networks instead of just locking it up and asking for payment. So there's slight changes, but so many parallels, as you pointed out.
Yeah, the idea of crime and basically holding something over someone's head, that's always been around. It's just the technology changes. Anyway, thank you so much for your call. We're going to try to get one more in, but we hope to talk to you again in the future.
Okay.
All right, take
care. Have a good one, okay?
You too. And one more time, our phone number is 802-321-4225. We're going to basically hold it open for another minute or two, and if no one calls in, we'll sign off for the night. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. It's good to hear from listeners again. It's good to know people are out there. Slowly we're becoming reacquainted with people, whether it's through 2600 meetings or phone-ins or even conferences. Yeah, they're starting up again. And I think we're on the verge of getting back to normal.
It's a nice thought.
It's a nice thought. Hopefully it's true. again, if... Now, Alex, you were about to tell a story, I remember, a few minutes ago. So why don't you tell that story? Do you remember your story?
Okay. I'm sorry.
You were on the verge of telling
totally,
a story.
Totally missed it.
Yeah. You were about to tell us a story, and you got interrupted by the phone, just like you're being interrupted right now. Try to remember the story, and we'll take this call, and then we'll end with your story. Go ahead. And good evening. You're... yes, Touchstones, you're on the air. Go ahead. Or you're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Speak up. Anyone there? Is that you, Kyle? Are you pressing buttons? No? Is somebody there? Okay, I don't read Touchstone. All right, you know what? That's it. That's... We'll give it one more chance. Alex, start your damn story. Let's see what if someone calls in.
I love it. I mean, these are the old toners coming back from the mid-90s.
Oh, they never left the mid-90s. They're just trapped there.
Yeah. No, it's look, I can appreciate a throwback
reference. If you don't start your story, another person's going to call in, and we're going to interrupt you again.
Yeah. What was my story? Right. So I'm going to get my vaccine over there, and I have to say, this one I felt like it hurt a little bit more going in. I don't know if it was the woman was particularly vindictive, or she didn't like my face, or you know maybe I offended her in some way. But
pain as soon as she jabbed you.
Yeah, it hurt. This one really hurt.
I didn't feel anything until a day afterwards, and then my arm started aching. And it lasted for about a day and a half. But,
I think she did it on purpose.
I don't think they can make it hurt if they're. I don't know. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on off the
phone
time.
As much as
I
think that we have some opportunities,
I don't know what
technology
this is.
As we move into the future, it's got to prove itself out with customers. If it doesn't, it could do 1,000 different things in the future, but we have to wait for the first one that came along that customers would accept before we deploy the technology.
Thank you for your card call. I volunteered to help out. AT&T, please say the line. Phone card. Thank you for your card call.
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
All right, cut them off. No, I was hoping they'd give away something. But
that was fantastic.
That wasn't really. I don't know. I don't care. All right, that's it for phone calls. Phone calls are closed. We're done with phone calls. Alex, if you have more of that story, which I really hope you do, share it with us now.
Yeah, well, I'll save it for next week.
Don't save it. No, first of all, we're not on next week.
We're not here next week.
Really.
I can't,
need this now.
No, I can't possibly last that long. It's 2 weeks at the minimum, and I hope your story is more than the shot hurt. I mean, that's not a story.
Well, no, it just turns out that the person getting their shot at exactly the same time as me was somebody that was a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a long time.
Wow.
And so we had this reunion over booster shots.
Okay, so a couple of questions here. This was in New York or Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, is this somebody who lives in the area?
He does. He's from New York, but actually moved out here.
Did you know that he moved out there before you ran into him?
Yes, but I hadn't seen him in a long time.
A long time being a year or more than a year?
Probably more than a year.
All right. It's a mildly interesting story, but not that fantastic. You did run into people who live near you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really intended to be a story. It was more just intended to be an observation or a fact that I got the booster as a way to generate conversation. You sort of made me make it into a story. There.
Well, I was disappointed by it because I thought it would be going out on a high note, and instead of kind of like limping out. And why would
you asked for it?
Why
I
would people
to,
tune
I
into this again?
No. Next week, I gave a perfect exit strategy for you, but you pressed it, and your disappointment is your own fault, Matty.
Look, you told us a story about how a nurse jabbed you and it hurt, and you ran into somebody you knew. And tried to make that into a story. A story is like, is there a chase involved? Is there, you know, something of intrigue or mystery or just excitement? That's what we need in a story. Okay, Rob's got a story. Go ahead, Rob.
No, the high note to your story, Alex, is now you have a bunch of antibodies swimming around in your system that are protecting you from terrible things. So, you know, there's your chase.
Yes.
They're chasing away the virus. And, you know, you're going to be around and healthy, and we appreciate that.
Gila, maybe you have a story to end on.
Well, I was going to say, Alex, this is one of those stories that you would end with, and then I found $20 because then at least something interesting happened in the story. But I was curious for all of you, actually, now that the guidance has been updated so that people can mix and match their boosters – did you each get boosted with the same shot you'd had previously, or did you cross the streams?
I did.
I did.
You did. You did what?
I didn't mix and match. I had the same Pfizer all the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
Me too.
Hold on a second, Alex. You didn't
did
get Pfizer the first two times, so you can't say Pfizer all the way.
No, I got Moderna again. But here's what's interesting about Gila's observation is that when my friend and I sat down in the chairs, the pharmacist brought out two syringes, one with Moderna, one with Pfizer. And she said, all right, you're going to have to tell me who is who, because he had Pfizer, I had Moderna, so she had one of each. So at that point, we could have easily switched.
I thought you were going to say she came out with a Pfizer, Moderna, and a coin. And she was going to flip.
That would have been interesting.
That's a good story.
Uh-huh. That's a good story, Alex. Yeah. It didn't happen, but that's a good story.
No, yeah, that would have been really, really good. Yeah.
All right, any final thoughts? Rob, you're going to the meeting, I take it.
Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to seeing folks again. I'm looking forward to hanging around in Citigroup with a bunch of hackers. Go to nyc2600.net if you need the details, or just show up at the Citigroup building in the food court on 53rd Street on Lexington Avenue this Friday evening.
And, of course, there are other meetings taking place all throughout the world. For more information on that, go to 2600.com/meetings. And if you have a meeting that you'd like to restart or start from scratch, email us, meetings@2600.com, and we will help you with that. Kyle?
Just encourage people to be curious and hack some stuff, and, you know, use the network. Use the phone network before they take it away from you.
Yes.
It might disappear. 3G is going away, and landlines being ripped off the side of buildings. It's the disappearance of what was this incredible physical connection, and share that with people, and share what you learn about how it's changing as well.
It's weird because, you know, hackers and phone freaks have always been into the phone system, and one could say they own the phone system. Well, now they may very well own the phone system because the phone company doesn't seem to be interested in it anymore. It's something that people have taken for granted, and I think it should be preserved.
I've kicked around the idea of like a 501c12 telephone cooperative, cooperative telephone company. There's plenty of creative, cool ideas. I think it will never go away as much as those companies want this the old landlines to go away. But We'll share ideas if people have cool ideas or projects about that stuff or things they're hacking on with telecommunications and computers. Let us know. Write to us, oth@2600.com.
And another question, too. If they do demolish the Hotel Pennsylvania, and please, if you were at the webinar tonight, write to us, oth@2600.com, as Kyle said. But if they do demolish the hotel, who gets the phone number? Who gets Pennsylvania 65000? You know, who would own it then if there's no hotel? I'd like to put in a bid. Well, not money or anything like that. I would say just give it to me, and I would like that.
We'll hold it. We'll hold it for them.
Or us, you know, the community, obviously. Yeah. The hacker community should preserve it because nobody else will preserve it. Nobody else really sees it as something that matters. Final thoughts, Rob, Gila?
I've got something, which, first of all, happy Hanukkah to all of our listeners for whom that is a thing.
Yes.
But I just wanted to say something about today, which is, in addition to today being World AIDS Day, there were also the oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court today,
mm-hmm.
In a case that could very well change the face of a lot of rights in this country. And today has been hard for a lot of people, but I want to remind everybody that we fight together, we keep fighting, and we bring light in darkness, and no one is alone today. We're all doing this together. And the community that we're building, the communities that we build all over the place, are what sustain us. Also, I wanted to say that I had a first during tonight's show, and that was that my contact lens fell out in the middle of the program. So that is an advantage to broadcasting from home, because had my contact fallen out at the studio, I would have had problems for a long time. But here I was just able to walk over and get my glasses. But yes, fight, support communities, donate to abortion access funds if you can, and keep fighting and care for people.
Yeah, and I think what you say is so important. You're not alone. You might feel like you're alone at many times. We all do. You're not alone feeling that, but you're never actually alone. There's always people to talk to, always people who support what you do, and who you are, and sometimes you just have to say that to yourself. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself of that. So thanks for that. All right, guys, I'll miss you next week, but see you in 2 weeks, eh? All right. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.